and welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. You're listening to Big Q&A. This is the show where we tackle life's questions about God, faith, religion, and the Bible. Together we explore what the Bible really says about the issues that matter most and discover practical answers for everyday life. No question is off limits here because every question deserves an honest answer. And the Bible is where we must go for answers you can trust. Good evening, I'm Caden, your host for today. I'm the pastor of the Merrows Park and Brighton Seventh-day Adventist churches here in Adelaide, South Australia. Thank you for joining me as we explore life's biggest questions and discover the hope God offers. This week on Drive Time, our theme is prayer. Is it a monologue or a dialogue? And prayer is often described as speaking with God, but is prayer simply a one-sided conversation in which we speak and God remains silent, or does God still answer and communicate with us today? And today, our big question for the day, for this evening, is prayer. Why doesn't God respond? Perhaps you have prayed earnestly about something that really mattered to you. You prayed for maybe healing or guidance or a relationship, a struggling child, or a seemingly impossible situation. But maybe nothing happens. Maybe heaven seems silent. What does this mean? Does it mean God's not listening? Does God answer every prayer? And what should we do in situations like these? We're going to be wrestling with these questions and more today as we spend this time together on our program this evening. And to help us do that, I'd like to welcome back Lindy Sperring to our program this Thursday night. So I know, Lindy, you were on last night with Gary, and you're back on tonight because you did so well last night.
I'm not sure that's the reason I'm back, but Pastor Gary knows I'm passionate about prayer and a relationship with the Lord. And so, yes, he invited me to come on two nights this week. So that's very exciting.
Wow, what an honor. And I'm very glad that we could be back together on our Thursday night. Looking forward to what you have to share. But before we get into it, Lindy, let's just go to our World Watch segment and see what's happening around the world. Now, I know that you always tell me off when I go to American politics.
I don't tell you off, do I?
And especially a particular president there. And so I've chosen to avoid him, but we're going to go to the vice president this evening. And this article is from The Guardian from the 3rd of September. And the headline says, J.D. Vance says he's doing God's work, and if that leads to the end times, okay. What do you think of that title, Lindy? It certainly captured my attention.
Look, to be honest, with all of our leaders, even in America, we should pray for them and we should bless them and we should respect them.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting comment, isn't it? I'll be looking forward to you extrapolating on what he's saying here.
Yes. Well, let's go through. It starts off by saying, Vice President says on the Evangelical podcast he would feel not shocked if the Antichrist was walking amongst us.
Hmm.
What do you think of this opening statement here?
Well, I'm not sure why he's got that in mind, but perhaps he's joined the Catholic Church, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
So he's become a Catholic.
He's become a Catholic, yep.
And they do tend to talk about the Antichrist, and they have a certain view on that. So perhaps it's just part of him becoming a Catholic.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's keep reading and we'll find out. J.D. Vance has said he is doing as much of God's work as possible and that he is okay if that leads to the end times, which he says are coming. Now, do you agree with that, Lindy? Do you agree that the end times are coming?
Well, I agree with what the Bible tells us.
Okay.
And I know a little bit about prophecy, as you do yourself, Pastor Caden, and you've been talking about it the last few weeks in the community. And so there's every evidence to support that Jesus is much closer to coming than perhaps even a few years ago. Very
yes.
close.
Yeah.
Because if you stop for a moment, we're going to get sidetracked here, but if you stop and think the way the world's going, even here in Adelaide, since we've moved from Melbourne, how many attacks it seems on our animals. You know, we've had the problems with our oceans and our water and the floods and a lot of factors that are increasing, like in Matthew 24. So I think there's every evidence and signs, and perhaps J.D. Vance is seeing that himself.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, it says here, The US Vice President made the comments during a Monday podcast interview with Bryce Crawford, a 22-year-old evangelical host with over a million YouTube followers and videos featuring sensationalist headlines, which we won't go into. But speaking about the Christian prophetic notion that the world as humanity knows it will one day end, Vance said, "Do I think we are in the end times? I don't know. While I'm fascinated by it, I think that focusing on it too much can be very bad," he said, adding that if his work leads to the end times, okay, and if that leads to us building a better world that wants to that thrives and survives for a very long time after I'm gone, that's great too.
But before you go on, I really do have to come into this conversation.
Please come in, Lindy.
So J.D. Vance seems to be talking very much in humanistic terms.
Yes.
He's talking about what he can do, as though he is the one that can hasten the end times. He's talking about them building a better world that thrives and survives for a very long time after he's gone. He's talking about what man can do. But I'm more interested in what God can do, is doing, will do, and has done.
That's a very valid point, Lindy, and that's a very good thing to say here. And he says he's not sure. He's fascinated by it. But what do you think of his statement here, Lindy, by saying focusing on it too much, the end times can be very bad?
Well, because I receive a lot of information from people in the community, I think yes, we can focus too much on, in a fearful way, of things that will perhaps come upon the earth.
Like in
Revelation.
Yes.
And so I agree with him on that part, but I think also we need to know our Bibles. We need to know what the prophecies say so that we can be prepared and ready for what is coming upon the earth. You can't stop it. It's going to happen. It's already starting to happen. And so we need to be ready and we need to understand it. Not focusing on it all the time. Our main focus should always be on our personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And I think we need to have a balanced approach with this. I don't think Revelation should be the only book that we read. I think we need to be reading all the books of the Bible. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we should not be not reading Revelation.
It's a balance, isn't it?
And having that balance. I was presenting at one of our sessions about the Sabbath.
Yes.
And sharing how, in regards to the Sabbath, when you look through the Bible, there's one side of it where the Pharisees and the scribes of the New Testament were very legalistic about Sabbath observance.
Yes.
But then on the other side, the flip sides, in the Old Testament times, the Jews were very dismissive of Sabbath observance, and they just forgot it. And God said, because of your idolatry and also you're not keeping the Sabbath, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed because you've just trodden on it, on the commandment of God. And then I was making the point, when Jesus came, he was getting these two extremes and trying to get the ideal between them. That's a central focus point of God's ideal of what the Sabbath actually means, and that commandment actually means, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Yes.
And I think with all these topics, like the end times, there's sort of the ideal where we don't become so fixated on the end times that we forget the gospel as mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John or the other portions of scripture. But we can't neglect it as well, because that's something we call present truth, I guess, looking at our current time that we're living in and seeing what the signs of our times are actually saying to us.
Absolutely. It's finding that balance too, isn't it? And I believe also when we read the Word, and I hope that our listeners do read the Bible regularly, you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth and to reveal to you. It's always revealing perhaps something new to our own hearts. It's always the same. God is the same yesterday, today and tomorrow, but he'll open up different parts to our understanding, depending on where we are, I suppose, in our relationship with him.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, I've always been fascinated by prophecy and end times. And so
yes. There's
times in my life where I can sort of lean towards the more focusing of that point there. And so I've made a deliberate choice in my life to go and focus on other areas. Because
to keep it more balanced.
Keep it more balanced. And I think, you know, need to keep ourselves in check sometimes. At the moment, I'm reading through the Bible and I'm going through from Genesis onwards, and I'm currently up to Ezekiel. And what's amazing about Ezekiel is that there's so much of Revelation that quotes Ezekiel, and a lot of these things that you find in Revelation, John's actually just picking up from the talkings of Ezekiel there in the Old Testament. So
I find the Bible's a tapestry. And as it comes together, it creates this beautiful picture. But I'm really looking forward to what else J.D. Vance has to say.
Oh, I know you are. Yeah. So, let's just have a look at this. It says here, Vance, who published a spiritual memoir. Have you read that one yet?
No, I haven't had time. I'm sorry.
Okay. Earlier this summer, about his conversion to Catholicism. So, yeah, this is what it's about. Said, I think you got to just kind of try and have an attitude of, the end times may be coming. In fact, they are coming. It's just a question of whether they're coming thousands of years down the road or a few months down the road. He said, I think there are things about the world that make me feel like not shocked if the Antichrist was walking among us. And Vance pointed to artificial intelligence using the example of the acquaintance who uses AI as a marriage counselor, which he described as kind of satanic. You wanted me to read on.
Yes, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
It seems to me that J.D. Vance is not really familiar with his Bible.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Well, he's pointing to man-made things as though that's part of what the Antichrist is. And yet we know it's very clear, the Bible's very clear when you study it, that the Antichrist is a system. It's a system of religion. It's a controlling sort of overarching group that want to control. And so I think we need to, you know, we haven't got time to go into all this today, and I know that you've been probably preaching about this, so.
Yeah, I've got some treasures of the past sessions coming up this weekend, and one of them is the Antichrist.
Very
interesting. So if you do want to hear that, come to the Brighton Seventh Day Adventist Church at 10 Amelia Street, Hove, this Saturday at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we will go through the top candidates of history of who the Antichrist might be, including some people alive at the moment, and we'll narrow it down from the clues of the Bible.
You know, I heard J.D. Vance talk at Charlie Kirk's funeral memorial service, and, you know, in some ways he's a powerful speaker. He's able to speak religious words, if you like, but I had some concerns about his overall, what his message was. And I would encourage all of us to search the scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to all truth, because I feel like some of the things that he says are quite humanistic. And I think that, you know, when he talks about thousands of years down the road, well, the Bible doesn't point to that either, because so many of the prophecies have come true and there's a big increase of knowledge running to and fro. Well, if that hasn't happened now, it's certainly not going to happen too much more.
I was reading a statistic this week saying that at the moment, 2026, knowledge is doubling every 12 hours.
There you go.
Can you believe it? Every 12 hours.
Increase in knowledge running to and fro. Yet we've got all this knowledge, but we seem to be lacking in wisdom.
Yeah.
And insights. And, yes.
Yeah.
Sad. What else does this man that you seem to want to bring up tonight have to say, Caden?
Well, yeah, thank you for asking. When you completely divorce the human from the social element that God made us for, that's very bad, he said. And I guess this is echoing what the Pope has been going about artificial technology and the dangers of that. And so in response to a question about whether he had ever been in a room that was spiritually dark, Vance said he had been in meetings with world leaders where various issues are being discussed, and somebody will say something or somebody will make an observation, and I feel some darkness about it. It sets off every spiritual alarm bell in my body, he added.
Right.
He also says Vance also defended Donald Trump's controversial depiction of himself as Jesus in an AI-generated photo, subsequently deleted, that the president posted earlier in the year, which Crawford said made me upset. The president didn't mean any offense. Obviously, he loves Christians. Did Donald Trump mean to post a meme of himself as God? No, the president has just a good sense of humor. He did not mean to mock or mimic God. That's just not who he is, Vance said, adding that Trump is a backslapper. And so following...
A good, fun bloke.
A good, fun bloke. And following outrage from Christian supporters, Trump deleted the photo and insisted that the photo was supposed to be me as a doctor making people feel much better. And elsewhere in the article, he goes on to say that Vance says he thinks he's got about a 75% chance of getting into heaven. And, Lindy, that's basically it. So any final thoughts from you about that 75% chance or whatever?
Well, then I wonder where his faith is, because I believe we can know with certainty that when we're worshipping God and Christ is living in us, we can know with certainty that we're going to either be risen up if we've passed away when Jesus comes, or we're going to rise up in the air and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So J.D. Vance says a number of things here, Pastor Caden, that they can sound all right, but if you think about it and look what he's really saying, he seems to be sending us off in all sorts of different directions. And, you know, I think we can say President Trump didn't mean any offense, but if he was a prayerful, godly, spirit-filled man, I suppose he perhaps wouldn't have done something like that.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really humorous, was it? It was It was a little bit a mimic or a mocking of our God. So, yes, look, there's all sorts of different views. And I know there'll be some people who say they think they're both wonderful men. I'm sure they're doing the best that they can in their situation. J.D. Vance obviously has to be very loyal to Donald Trump. You know, it's just the times we're living in. It always surprises me to hear a president talk in such down-to-earth, common sort of language. I'm normally used to the presidents. But whether he's any worse than the others who spoke so eloquently and perhaps were doing things behind the scenes that we don't know about, only God can be the judge.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's very good. Very interesting times and some very open discussions there from the U.S. Vice President. And don't go anywhere. We've got our topic tonight, prayer. Why doesn't God respond? Looking at this communication that God wants to have with us. He hasn't left us alone. He has given us this particular ability to be able to pray to him. And so don't go anywhere. We're going to have a short break and then get to our big question for today.
Don't give up on me.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Lindy and Caden. This week, our theme is prayer. Is it monologue or dialogue? And today, our big question for the day is, why doesn't God respond to prayer? So before we get into our topic, we've got a great giveaway, and this is a great little book entitled Teach Us to Pray. This is by Pastor Doug Batchelor, a great little pocketbook here that you can take wherever you go, and an easy read with some excellent tips and advice and biblical counsel for prayer. Let me read you about this book and get your pen or your phone ready to type down the details to get it for free. It says, prayer is one of the most valuable spiritual assets, but few people truly understand what it means to pray. Is prayer simply presenting God with a list of requests? Is there a right way to approach Him? And how can our prayers become more meaningful and effective? Teach Us to Pray by Doug Batchelor takes an in-depth look at what has often been called the breath of the soul. Through the model Jesus gave us in the Lord's Prayer, this book offers powerful biblical insights into what it means to communicate with God. The book looks closely and biblically at each phrase contained in the Lord's Prayer, and you'll learn what makes up a good and effective prayer, the right spirit to have when approaching God, and what Jesus taught us to avoid when praying. Whether prayer is already part of your regular life or if you're just beginning to explore it, this book, Teach Us to Pray, can help you develop a deeper and more meaningful relationship with God. And so to get this copy, this free copy of this book, you just need to text us here at Drive Time the code that I'm about to give you. The code to text in is SA433. That's SA433. And you text that to our Drive Time number 0488 808 11, and we'll get this to you for free. Just remember, it's completely for free. The shipping's for free. We'll deliver it to you for free, and all you need to do is text us the code. The code is for this particular book, SA433, and you text that to our Drive Time number 0488 808 11, and we'd love to send it to you. And if you're looking for a friend or a family member, perhaps you're thinking of someone that this might be a good little booklet for, you're very welcome to get it as well, completely for free. And we'd love to get it to you. The code is SA433, and you need to text that to 0488 808 11.
It's a really great book, Pastor Caden, and yes. I'd encourage our listeners too, if you think, or you've got the book, you might want to get it and share it with somebody else who might be struggling. There's a lot of people out in the community who don't seem to have any hope. There's a lot of people who are even tempted to take their own lives or to perform violent acts, and this book might be something. They just might be willing to read this book and discover this great God of ours who wants to hear our prayers.
Make sure that you get this free offer. Again, the code is SA433, and you text that to our Drive Time number 0488 808 11, and we can see we've got a few people who are claiming this offer for today. So thank you for getting this free offer. We'll have another chance to get a bit later on in the show, but we're going to come to our main discussion topic for today, our big question: why doesn't God respond? You know, Lindy, many people pray, many people pray sincerely when something really matters, but not all receive the answer they're hoping for. Some begin to wonder possibly whether God is listening at all. So, Lindy, when we feel that God hasn't responded or He's not listening, what can you tell us? What should we do?
Look, for me, sometimes I feel like God hasn't heard me, but I know He's teaching me to be patient. But we need to talk about what really prayer is. And prayer is a spiritual connection and relationship between us as humans and a supernatural God. And so if we want to have a relationship with a supernatural God, we need to know Him. And the way we know Him is by reading the Word, reading our Bibles regularly, and spending time in His presence. praying to him, talking to him. And all this week we've been talking about prayer, and our church, of course, has the week of prayer. So there's a big focus on spiritual things and on prayer. But there are some things that can happen to us, Pastor Caden, that like blockages, if you like. You know, we talked last night about the lights here in the studio, and we know that they're able to operate because they're connected to electricity. They're connected to the source of power. But if a mouse comes up into the ceiling there and chews away and the connection is broken, that light isn't going to work. And I think that sometimes we have blockages in our lives, and that's why our prayers don't work. And sometimes the Lord might say no. Sometimes he's asking us to be patient. And sometimes we ask amiss. And the Bible says that we ask amiss. We need to ask for things that are God's will. But even if we're praying for God's will, there's a scripture in Psalm 66:18 that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear.
So what does that mean, Lindy?
Well, it really does mean that when we're regarding iniquity, it means we're valuing and we're enjoying and we want to continue in that sin. We're always sinners in need of a Savior. But maybe there's some blockage through a sin that we're hanging on to.
Okay.
And we know that people struggle with all sorts of sins, sins of addiction, sins of wrong behaviors and attitudes, sins against God that they don't trust in him and believe what he says. You know, Abraham believed in God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so there are so many things that can stop our prayers. But 1 John 1:9 gives us this beautiful promise. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if we think that there is some sin that we are involved in, we need to repent and confess it to God, and then he is faithful and just to forgive us, and he wants to cleanse us. You know, Jesus has said when he was here, go and sin no more. So can sin be a blockage to our prayers? I believe it can. The first part is that we need to realize we need to be praying God's will, and it's certainly not his will for us to be bound in sin. He wants to set us free from our sins. So that's one aspect of prayer that we need to remember. There's another beautiful scripture in Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, these scriptures are beautiful scriptures that reveal to us the sort of God that we serve. He doesn't want sin to be controlling our lives. He wants the connection between him and us to be strong and powerful, so that he can hear our prayers, that our prayers are prayed in his will, because we know him and we pray his will and he wants to answer our prayers.
Now, Lindy, a lot of these psalms here, they're actually prayers and examples of prayers by faithful people.
Yes.
Now, Lindy, as I read this one that you gave, what do you think God would think if we just took this prayer and prayed it ourselves? Is that sort of copyright infringement, or is that acceptable to God? Because that's a pretty good prayer I see here.
Look, to be honest, when I've taken prayer programs, I've encouraged people to take the prayers from the Bible and to pray them.
Okay.
And make it, own it, like, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties.
Okay.
Claim that. Speak it from your very heart. We want God to see if there's any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Pastor Caden, I want to see Jesus coming. I want to be with Jesus. And so I would pray this prayer at times and say, search me, God. Is there something in my heart that isn't aligned with your will? And change me. Yeah. So, yes, sin in our lives can be a big blockage to our prayers.
I think it's a very big one.
It's
actually
huge.
That we just don't realize when we're in sin or have a sinful habit. We don't realize how much that's actually taking us away from that closer connection with God and having that blockage.
The Bible says he will not hear. I'm sure he hears them, but he's not going to be able to answer that because something's blocking that flow, that he wants to bless us with.
Yeah.
I think there are times, though, because God is so gracious, he still hears our prayers even when we're caught up in something that we shouldn't.
Yeah.
And I can think back to my husband. He left the church and he was perhaps rebellious towards God for a season, but God still protected him.
Yes.
When he was out there living life in away from God's will. So yeah,
definitely.
He but still loves us.
There's probably, if someone is in some sin or sinful lifestyle, there's probably an enemy presence in their lives causing a lot of that blockage as well, and not allowing God's voice to sort of come through.
Well, Pastor Caden, it makes me very sad just watching the news to see the violence, to see the suicide rate, to see the situations that we're living in Australia today. And my heart really goes out to those who are bound up in sin. And I just want to encourage you to come before the Lord, to repent and confess and ask him to take away and change your desires. You know, there's so many people that in blind studies and in, I suppose, surveys will confess that they're caught up in pornography, they're caught up with addictions to drugs or alcohol. And my heart goes out to those people. We can all be caught up in something that isn't what God would have for us. And so I just encourage you to seek this gracious God who is not willing that any should perish and wants us, has done everything he can with his rescue plan to help us. So, yes, sin can be a big blockage. Also, unbelief, Pastor Caden.
Okay.
You know, if we don't believe what God has said, this can diminish our prayers. Our prayers should come from a heart that believes and trusts in God. Last night I said, you know, to those, if you're not praying, I said, just like Nike, just do it. Just do it. Start talking to God. Open your heart. It's a supernatural relationship prayer. It's a supernatural coming and going. It's not just a monologue. It's a dialogue. God will convict you. He will impress you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He may speak through others. He may speak directly to you from his word. And sometimes, every now and then, you'll even hear his voice with a conviction as he speaks to your heart.
Yes. I remember praying over the weekends just before a presentation I was about to make, and I was feeling a bit nervous because of the pressure of the presentation and topic of it.
Yes.
Just of what I had to share. I heard very distinctly as I was praying this promise of scripture come into my mind, into my heart, it gave me great confidence, I guess, going forward, because it's not by my strength, it's by God's, and he will do what he will do.
Amen. Yeah. And if we know the scripture, he will use the scripture to speak to us, so yes. We need to read it, memorize it, and trust in it. Another aspect of where our prayers can be not as powerful as we'd like them to be is through wrong motives.
Okay.
Wrong motives. We're praying Lindy's will or Caden's will instead of God's will.
Yes.
You know, like you and I, we're human and we want things a certain way at times.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And we would like to see, you know, I've been praying for family members and I've been praying for some for a long, long time, and I can be impatient and I want to see those prayers answered, or I might be asking God to give me something or to open a door for something rather than seeking what he wants to do in my life, because I've learned that trusting in God, you have the best outcome in your life. Whatever path you take, you have the best outcome by trusting in him. So it's not our will, it's not our desires, it's not our wants. We need to replace it with God's will.
Yes.
And the only way we know what his will is to know him through his word, through our experiences with reading the word, and the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth and understanding of who God is. You know, sometimes, Caden, you and I want a miracle more than we want the miracle worker. And back when Jesus was here, the people were following him around because they wanted food and they wanted to see some miraculous signs, but they didn't really want Jesus. They didn't want to have this intimate personal relationship with him.
And that's a real shame, isn't it? But I guess, can we be any different today?
We can be the same. We want things the way that we want it.
Yeah.
We want to have things our way.
Yeah, it's you often hear about the vending machine concept of God, and you just go there for what you want, and you miss that connection that he actually wants to have with you.
Well, he's not Santa Claus.
No.
He's definitely not Santa Claus.
No, definitely not.
There's another area in our lives that idols can be a big part of why our prayers aren't answered, or they're not going in the way perhaps we think they are, even if we are praying in God's will.
Yes.
As the Bible says in Exodus 22, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, God wants to be first in our life. He's a jealous God, the Bible says, jealous of our love and our affection. So are there idols in our lives? Is food that important to us? Is money so important to us, or the way we dress, or are we having so much affection for worldly pleasures and activities? Do we have ungodly sexual appetites? What is taking place in our heart? What do we think about the most? I often say, think about what you think about. Are you thinking about God and what he wants for us? Is he the most important in our lives? And it's part of our journey with the Lord and coming closer to him. In Ezekiel 14:3, you were saying about Ezekiel, it says, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. And here's what God says.
What does he say?
Should I let them inquire of me at all?
Oh, okay.
Should I let them inquire of me at all? Because there are idols in their heart. Idols are more important and have been set up in their lives.
Yeah.
So there's some of the things that can block our prayers, Pastor Caden, and I think if we all can fall into any of these areas, if you're listening today and you feel like something that we've talked about has touched your heart, may I encourage you to stop in a few moments, to have a short time between you and God, and ask God to reveal to your heart if there's something that is blocking your prayers. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what might be blocking your prayers, because it's my passionate desire that your prayer life is powerful, that you hear God speaking to you, that you've seen him work in areas that you've been praying for.
We
serve a great God.
That's great. And I can see why many people call you the prayer lady. That was there was a lot in that. And perhaps we might need to go on the app and listen to you a few times just to take that all in, because you were really, really drilling home those points there. They were really good. Don't go anywhere. Lindy's got more to come. And you don't want to miss looking at this big question for today about prayer. We're just going to go to a song now. And this song's entitled Slow Down.
In the midst of my confusion, in the time of desperate need, when I am thinking not too clearly . A gentle voice does intercede. Slow down, slow down, be still. Be still and wait on the Spirit of the Lord. Slow down and hear His voice and know He is God. in the time of tribulation, when I'm feeling so unsure, when things are pressing in about me, comes a gentle voice so still, so pure, slow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Lindy and Caden. This week, our theme is prayer. Is it a monologue or a dialogue? And today, our big question for the day is, why doesn't God respond to my prayers? Before we get into our discussion and continue with that, we've got our final opportunity for our free giveaway. So if you're just tuning in, this is a great time to come on board, because it's our final chance to get this book that we have. It's been a popular book. The book's entitled Teach Us to Pray. And this is a great little pocket book by Doug Batchelor. So it won't take you long to read. It will just take you probably just an hour or two to get through it. And what's inside is going to richly bless you. And so just listen out for the special code to claim this free offer. It's by Doug Batchelor. Let me tell you a bit more about it. It says, prayer is one of the most valuable spiritual assets, yet few people truly understand what it means to pray. Is prayer simply presenting God with our list of requests? Is there a right way to approach Him? And how can prayers become more meaningful and effective? Well, in this book, Teach Us to Pray by Doug Batchelor, he takes us on an in-depth look at what has often been called the breath of the soul. Through the model Jesus gave us in the Lord's Prayer, this book offers powerful biblical insights into what it means to communicate with God. So the book looks closely and biblically at each phrase contained in the Lord's Prayer, and you'll learn what it makes up a good and effective prayer, and the right spirit to have when approaching God, and what Jesus taught us to avoid when praying as well. Whenever prayer is already part of the regular life, or whether you're just beginning to explore it, this book, Teach Us to Pray, can really help you develop a deeper, more meaningful relationship with God. And this is a great book, and you can get this for free today. And there's no strings attached. We'll get it to you for free as well. And all you need to do is text us the code SA433, and you text that to our drive time number 0488 808 11. And we'll get this to you as quickly as possible. Perhaps you've never claimed one of these free offers before. I encourage you to give it a try. There's nothing sinister behind this. It's simply you put in your code and you text it to our number, and our robot will actually text you back, our chat box here at Faith FM. and we'll just get the details that we need to send it to. And so the code is SA433, and you text that to 0488 808 11, and we'll get that to you as quickly as we possibly can. We'd also like to hear from where you're listening from and a shout out. So you can also text us on that same number if you've got any questions or comments, 0488 808 11. And we always get excited when we hear from people tuning in across Australia.
We do.
And so, yeah, thank you very much. But, Lindy, we're looking at this question today. Why doesn't God respond to the prayer? And you've given us a number of biblical examples of why God sometimes doesn't respond to prayer. And so, Lindy, what else is there to share about this big question for today?
You know, I'm sure that there are some people listening who've had some very difficult times in life. Perhaps they've been used or abused by others. And my heart goes out to you if you've suffered in some way from at the hands of others or just from life circumstances. My heart really goes out to you. But there's another area that is just so important, Pastor Caden. If we want our prayers to be answered, we want to have a really strong connection with the Lord, and that is in unforgiveness.
Okay.
We need to forgive others who've hurt us. In fact, the Bible makes a very strong statement. It says in Mark 11, 25 to 26, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses.
Mm.
This is a very strong and serious statement saying that if we don't forgive others, God cannot forgive us.
Yeah.
And this can be a real stronghold for the enemy to attack us. And I know in my own life, many of the listeners will have heard my testimony of deliverance and healing, that I held bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart. And when I was able to move to that place to choose to forgive others, and it's an ongoing situation with forgiveness, that God was able to deliver me and to set me free and to bring healing to me. And so I also think about Corrie Ten Boom and how she was once speaking publicly about forgiveness, and she met one of the soldiers as she came out from speaking who had tortured her and her sister. And she was put on the spot right there and then to have to shake his hand and to forgive him. Just imagine how she felt. And so sometimes our prayers are blocked because we are holding on to unforgiveness. We are not willing to let go of this terrible pain. We're not willing to allow God to have his vengeance in the situation. But we really do need to forgive others, even if we don't feel like it. And sometimes we don't feel like it. And forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean that we have to then turn our hearts to a full-on relationship with that person. Some of the people we may need to forgive may not even be alive anymore. Some of the people we need to forgive may be family members. In fact, ongoing, God asks us in the Bible not to go to sleep with anger in our hearts. We need to forgive because it can carry over. And I believe, personally, I believe, Pastor Caden, that if we're holding on to unforgiveness, it can be a way that the enemy can get a stronghold in our lives and really try to destroy our relationship with God. And so we choose to forgive. We choose to, it's a spiritual gift perhaps from God, but we choose to forgive others who've hurt us. And we're able to then allow us and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So if we had to just recap on why sometimes our prayers aren't being answered, we talked about sin. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear, the Bible says. And yet if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We talked about unbelief. Not believing really God's promises, not believing and trusting him for our salvation, not believing and trusting him in the difficult circumstances that we find. And so many people out there suffer with anxiety. And it's all right, I suppose. Occasionally we all feel anxious, but to live consciously all the time with anxiety, that's not God's will for us. He wants us to trust in him. I suppose like a little child who's trusting her dad as he holds her hand and takes her across the road. He wants us to trust in him. God doesn't want us to have idols in our lives, things that take the place of God and his intimate and personal relationship that he wants to have. And remember, I talked about Ezekiel 14:3. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Are there idols in our lives, things that take precedence when God wants to take precedence in our lives? And I do love that book by Doug Batchelor. It's a great book because it uses the Lord's Prayer and outlines how the principles of the Lord's Prayer can help us to have a beautiful and strong prayer life. We also talked about us having wrong motives. Sometimes you and I want our will. And in James 4:3, it says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." So sometimes we're selfish and we want things, you know, what we want. And yet the prayer that never fails is God's will be done. Mm. His will be done, not our will, not our desires, not our wants.
And that's why Jesus even included that in the Lord's Prayer. Yes. And it's something that we should include in our every prayer that we pray as well, shouldn't it?
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done on earth as is in heaven.
And in heaven, God's will is done beautifully and perfectly. Yes. And we want to pray that for ourselves as well. And so if anyone's listening and they feel like their prayers aren't being answered, please consider, ask God to reveal to you if there's some area of your life that is being a barrier to powerful prayers. Because let me tell you, the most exciting thing that I've found in my life is to see the answer to God's prayer in the lives of other people that we pray for, when we pray for them to get a job, or we pray for them to find a home, or we pray for them to have healing in their lives, or we pray for them to grow closer to the Lord, or we pray for them to have a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's so wonderful to see God at work through our prayers. And so we just need to be careful that there are no barriers or no blockages to us having a powerful prayer life. And yeah. I could go on for hours, Pastor Cadence.
I'm sure you could,
but
Lindy.
I think it's getting very, very close to our time.
It is. So, I can really resonate, though, with what you're saying. I've certainly been through all my life where I can recognize now that in the past, God's word and my prayers haven't been coming together to me because of these blockages. And I look back now and I can see there was idols and there was habits and there was lifestyles that were sinful and not wholesome that were blocking it. And for me, I remember when I was younger, I was into a lot of entertainment and a lot of movies and TV shows and going out in the world where I shouldn't have been going out. And at the same time, I was going to church and I was a Christian in name, but there was this other stuff going on, and I was, you know, pleading with God and trying to get him to hear my voice.
You had a double life.
And yet I had this double life. And I look back now and I think, you know, how did I not realize at that time when I was in the midst of it that these things that I was doing while I was praying and then after I was praying, you know, going and doing, how did I not realize that actually that's what was causing those blockages? And I tell you what, when God revealed to me that, it was a massive change. Yeah, shock and I, you know, I just you know, really froze in horror and had to make urgent immediate changes in my life, and since then,
praise God that you did, and look where you are now.
Yeah,
the Lord's working through you and speaking through you.
We praise God. We praise God, and I hope so.
Do we have time for me to say a prayer for our listeners?
We do. Let's pray.
Praise God. Thank you, Father God. You are awesome and worthy of our praise. And we don't know who's listening, Lord, but may you touch their hearts, Father. May you bring to their minds the things that might be blocking them from having a powerful, intimate relationship with you and a powerful prayer life. May they be purposeful, Lord, and set aside time to pray to you, to spend time opening their hearts to you. This is our prayer this evening in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen.